All right, so in the theme of the introspection of Chodesh El, so I wanted to share with you some neat ideas. These are topics that we have spoken about in the past, but are worth revisiting. The first Bel Zeruv, the Sar Sholem, said that the term Elul is the Aramaic translation for V'leisasuru or V'yesuru Eretz Canaan, which means to spy. So for the word to spy in Aramaic, the word is V'ya'alelun yas'ara. They should spy out the land. And he says that's what Elul is. Elul is that we are to become spies. And it is much more geschmack and much more convenient to spy and figure out what other people's problems are. It's very, very, much more fun. But the direction really that we're supposed to go to during the month of Elul is to become spies into ourselves. What are we supposed to spy about? So I'll share with you a beautiful tapestry that the Bob Verov Zalzan Gesint painted here. And then I want to add to some things that I didn't have the opportunity to elaborate on yesterday in the morning, where I really wanted to. They said I went way too long as it was. I think I was up to like 12 minutes. So he launches from the pasuk of the opening words of yesterday's parasha, which is always read during the month of Elul. Ki seitzei la melchama aleivecha. You will go out to war against your enemy. Question number one is, is even more fundamental. Who else would we be going to war with? I mean, it just can say, ki seitzei la melchama. If you're going out to war, obviously you're going out to war against your enemy. Then it says, enemies are plural, right? Aleivecha unesanoi Hashem adikecha b'yadecha. Hashem will give him into your hands. V'shavisa shivyoi, and you will capture its captivity. That's stam, a strange language. Thank you. And the Torah goes into a elaboration of the mitzvah that we discussed yesterday of the isha yifas Torah, this captive woman. Okay. So the topic that we're going to discuss is not a popular topic. It is uncomfortable, but one which is necessary and I believe has relevance to each one of us. The Rashi tells us right here, the opening Rashi of this week's parasha is, when you go out to war, b'melchemes harishus hakosav medabe, the Torah is talking about a war which is a war of rishus. What's a war of rishus? So let me first tell you what the literal translation is for those of you who like literal things. There are two types of war. There's a melchemes mitzvah. There's a war which is a commandment that Klal Yisrael has to do in taking back the land. And then there are optional wars. So let's say at some point we decided that we wanted to be in control of Orlando, so we could do that in the form of a Melchemes Rishus. Okay? So there, that's what the Torah is talking about here in this thing. Okay? But you could well imagine that the Sifrei Musar, the Sifrei Machshava, talk about this realm of existence called the world of the Rishus, which means the world of the permissible. It's not a mitzvah, it's not an Avera, it's this area, this gray area called the world of Rishus, of that which is permissible. That's what most of the Sifrei Kodesh talk about, and that's not what we're going to discuss. Okay? You have to come back a different time for that one. We're going to talk about a different Rishus. So, further on, Rashi tells us, again, a staggering Rashi, we discussed this yesterday a little bit, is Le'dibre Torah Ela Keneged Yetzirah. That the Torah in this parsha of the Yifas Torah is speaking Keneged Yetzirah. Keneged means like opposite the Yetzirah, meaning that the Torah recognizes that this is a very difficult thing for these people, and that if the Torah, Rashi says, if the Torah would not permit, figure out some way of permitting this relationship, they would do it anyway. Which is, again, a conversation not to itself. As to far, when you go through last week's parsha and you see who it is that went out to war, they didn't have any averus shebiyodam. We're dealing with people who were tzaddikim, kadosh elyon, and they're the ones who are struggling. I mean, it's a very, very complicated, mysterious parsha. But we're not going to talk about that either. What I do want to discuss is a conversation that we've had in the past, brought from the Arameyer, the Baramayim Chaim, but it's all really based on a teaching by the Baal Shevet Musar. The Shevet Musar was a kadmain, was a obviously a Musar Sefer written some 400 or 500 years ago. And he addresses, based upon a Zohar, that the Zohar says that a person can come up after 120 years, having done and fulfilled multitudes, thousands and thousands of mitzvahs, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, "That's all very nice, but that's not what I sent you for." And a person needs to go through a process of introspection to figure out what their unique mission is for which they were sent to this world. And we can understand that, first of all, that this is a complex exercise. But even more so, the challenge and the solution to the challenge are completely wrapped up in one package. And that means as follows. If we accept the fact that each of us has a unique mission, now obviously that doesn't mean that we're supposed to neglect, like, okay, I don't have to keep kosher because that's not my unique mitzvah, right? That's not, I'm coming off of a week where I saw the word lobster more times than I have in the rest of my life combined. I was in Maine last week and there's lobsters everywhere. So a person's going to say, you know what, it's not my mitzvah. I don't have to keep that one. It's not a challenge to me. That's narishkeit. Right? We're talking about a person who's committed, obviously, to Torah mitzvahs. And nonetheless, there's some excelling that needs to take place in a certain area. How do we know what that is? Says the Shevet Musar, we can know what it is by seeing where our Yetzer Hara puts up the greatest number of obstacles. Where the obstacles are, that's where the action is. That's what we're here to do. And it could be in the area of midas, it could be in the area of positive mitzvahs, and it could be in the area of negative mitzvahs. We need to know that, and obviously the Shevet Musar puts it into the context of Gilgul Neshama, that whatever it is that a person has neglected in the past, they're given the opportunity to come back once again and revisit that area, and they're given the opportunity to rectify what they have destroyed or neglected in the past. There were tzaddikim, for instance, who were extreme tzedakah givers. I mean, the Divrei Chaim was known that he wouldn't go to sleep if there was any money left in the house. And he said about himself that he was born with a nature of being extremely tight-fisted and stingy. And he knew that that was an area that he had to fix. So he went to the complete opposite extreme in order to rectify that. And the Shevet Musar says that he draws this lesson from the Gemara in Shabbos, where you see a list of Tanoim and Amiroim who kind of, it looks like they're bragging about themselves. Tesili, I get credit because I fulfilled the mitzvah of Tefillah. I fulfilled the mitzvah of Tefillah, and I did the mitzvah of Tzitzis, and so on. And then you have a conversation between them. One of them says to the other, Avicha b'mayha b'zohi tvei. Tell me, what was it that your father excelled in? And the whole conversation just seems weird. Like, what are they talking about? And the conversation that they're having is a conversation with one another to help them process, what do you see as your unique mission? What's your area in which you find the greatest challenges, and by definition, since they took life seriously, what are the areas which you excelled? Where is your point of perfection? The Tiferes Shleima says with this, and this was new to me, this part of this, a phenomenal yesod. He says you find by the brothers when they took Yosef. So they first were going to put Yosef to death. And the Torah says that Reuven said to them, "Al tishpichu dam, don't spill any blood." Leman hitzil Yosef miyadam, so that he could save him from their hands. La shiva yalaviv, to return him to his father. So the Mefarshim ask that returning him to his father is not their response. It was not Reuven's responsibility. Yosef came on his own. He could go home on his own. The point that he mainly wanted to do was to save Yosef from this, from his brothers. So he says that the Mekubalim bring that Reuven was a Gilgal of Cain, who killed Hevel. And he was coming back to rectify his sin of murder, so that he could go back and be mashlim and fill in the void that he left in his past life. La'ashiva yalaviv, to return him to his father, is not going about Yosef, that he wants to return Yosef to his father. It's going on him. La'ashiva yalaviv is that he can come back to his father when his life is over and have rectified what he had erred in the past. To which Reuven exclaims, when he goes back and sees that Yosef is missing, so Reuven exclaims, "Hayeled einenu, the lad is lacking. Va'ani anani bo, how am I going to? What am I going to come back with? I'm left empty-handed. I wasn't able to go back and rectify what I did in the past." The Koshet Zemagid says that this whole conversation is really a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Ezu Gibor, who is considered a mighty person?" It's in the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avos. "Hakovesh es Yitzroi, he who overcomes his Yetzer." Why doesn't it say Hakovesh es Hayetzer? Somebody overcomes the Yetzer. Says the Koshet Zemagid, because each and every person has a different, individualized, custom-tailored Yetzer Hara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed for him, for each one of us, based upon the past. And each one of us has a unique mission based upon that Yetzer. And even if we go through all of life, and we battle on a daily basis with a myriad of details of Torah and mitzvahs and all the kinds of things that all the trials and tribulations of life, but if we don't face our unique Yetzer, Yitzroi, says the Koshet Zemagid, then we missed the boat. And we're going to end up coming back again and again until we are able to go back and be Kovish as Yitzroi, our individual Yetzer. The Chesed LaAvram, it's Tiferes Shleima's son, writes that the Sefer Tevis are the last letters of the words of Ezuhu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzroi. I'm sure you've all figured it out, because it took me about an hour. Is Rishus. Okay? And he says that he explains it using this other concept that I promised you we wouldn't talk about. Right? That it's the Mechames HaRishus. Comes the Torah and says, Kiseitze la milchoma, when you go out to war, al oivecha, against your individual milchoma. That's why the Torah needs to specify. Obviously, we go out to war against enemies. That's who you generally go to war with. In-laws and enemies. So the Torah is telling us, al oivecha. You need to understand that the Rabbeinu Shalom custom tailors for each one of us. No two people are alike, and no two people. You look at some people with the thing that they struggle with, and you have no clue as to how people could possibly struggle with what it is that they're struggling with. And it's because our past experience and our past lives don't relate to that, and therefore it's not a struggle for us. Where somebody else who in a past life messed up in this area, that becomes their Yetzer. That's Yitzroy, Akoivish es Yitzroy. It comes the Torah and says, Kiseitze la melchama al oivecha, when you, individual, go out to war against your individual custom tailored enemy, only then will you succeed. Because that's where your purpose is. Comes Rashi and says, Bimelchemes harishus hakosav medaber, pointing to the Chesed Lavram, saying, what is it that we're to focus on? It's this war of rishus of hakoivish es ezu gibor, hakoivish es yitzroy, which is sefer tevis rishus. That's where we're supposed to be focusing. That's where the attention needs to be placed. And that's where the Sifri on this pasuk says, "Kiseitze la milchama al oivecha." Says the Sifri, "Kineged oivecha," corresponding to, opposite your enemy. You find the same word when Yaakov Avinu and Esav Arosha meet up. So he says to Nisav Nelcha ve'elcha linegdecha. He says to him, I'm going to go opposite you. That's where the power of good and the power of evil come in direct contrast to one another. That terminology is used. Linegdecha. Keneged. Keneged evecha. Corresponding to. You got to look where it is that your enemy is alive and well. And I believe that it's not by error, by the way. We don't have time to go into this particular aspect of it, but the Mishnah, when it discusses the list of mitzvahs that we say every morning after Birchas HaTorah, Achanos Eskal, Levayis HaMes, Enav HaShal, Menish Lishtay, Bincha, Onam HaVeira, and so the whole list, then it says, V'Talmud Torah K'neged Kulam. Talmud Torah contains in it the elixir, the wonder that when learned correctly, it's keneged kulam. Contained in Torah is the way to battle against every form of Yetzirah. And that's why Chazal tell us, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Torah has within it the capacity. I just want to share with you a great thought that I saw. I can't remember. I try to remember where I saw it. But it resonated when the Gemara in Brachas talks about a person should incite their evil inclination, their good inclination against their evil inclination. Then a person should study Torah. If he wins, that's great. If not, he should read the Shema. If he wins, that's great. If not, he should remember the day of death. So all the commentaries ask, if remembering the day of death is such an effective measure against the Yetzer Hara, so why don't we go there first? Why play around with the other solutions that clearly are not as secure as remembering the day of death? So the Mefarish I saw says that the Shleim HaMelech speaks about those who view this world as their playground, as people who say, after all, today I'm here, tomorrow I'm in the grave, so I got a chaperein, as many forms of self-indulgence and pleasure that I can, because after all, it's over tomorrow, right? It's a whole world out there who has that perspective. So remembering the day of death can cut either way. It could lead a person totally astray, or as the Gemara tries using it, it can sober a person up to recognize that they got a chaperein to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is what precedes it. Come Chazal and say to us, you first got to do like this. Don't go to the day of death first, because that can lead a person completely in the opposite direction. First, Yasek B'Torah. First, study Torah. And then Lein Krishma. Once that's integrated, once that's part of you, then you can take the risk of bringing up the concept of the day of death, because then you don't have to worry about the fact that the day of death will lead you to party and to go astray, because you have integrated the concept of learning Torah and Krishna that will guide you towards the opposite direction. Comes Rashi and says, "Le'dibre Torah ela keneged yetzahara." That in the parasha of the Yefas Torah, the Torah is talking to us about our custom-tailored individual yetzahara that Hashem created especially for us to conquer, to overcome, so that we can fulfill our unique mission in life. At the end of the parasha, in the parasha of Amalek, you find the same concept. Zochar es asher oso lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did, lecha, individual. Biderech b'tzeischem mimitzrayim. When you, plural, went out of Egypt. Asher karcha baderech. That he went and trapped you along the way. Again, individual. It goes back from the plural to the singular to the plural. And again, here it's the same concept. We know that Amalek is the representative of the Yetzirah. And the Torah is telling us that there is a collective Yetzirah, and then there is the individual Yetzirah. And we cannot get away in life with the general Klal Yisrael Yetzirah. We need V'ya'alad, in the month of Elul, is there, as the Belzerov says, to spy out, to figure out where our greatest challenges are, and to conquer them. Because that's the spy activity of the month of Elul, so that when Rosh Hashanah comes and we need to report, we can report that we understand that each of us has a unique mission in that conquest. And lest we think that once we finish with that unique mission that we're done, don't worry about it. New Yitzre Hara on the horizon that are waiting in the wings to be exposed and revealed. So that takes us to the concept that I wanted to address from yesterday's morning Devat Torah. So we spoke about the continuation of what Rashi draws upon as being the common thread. Parsha starts with the Ishi Yefas Torah, the warrior that goes out and finds this woman. And then Rashi says what's going to happen is if he pursues that he is going to end up hating her. And that's kisiya the ishtei nashim. A person is going to have two wives. Achas ahuva v'achas no. One is loved and one is hated. And he's going to end up having the firstborn child from the hated wife. And b'yeman chilay yazbanav, on the day that he passes away and he has to give over his inheritance to his children, he has to know that he cannot favor the beloved child over the hated child. But the right of the firstborn goes to the ben hasnua habachar. Okay? And then the Torah, Rashi says, goes into the parasha of the ben sayru mayra, to the wayward child who strays, and that child is executed. The window, there's a small window there of a three-month period after the bar mitzvah where a child is subject to the laws of the ben sayru mayra. So the Balatanya has a sefer called the Mamore Admara Zoken, and then there's a volume, there's many volumes of that, and there's one volume called the Mamorim HaKetzorim. Two different periods in his life, one one period of his life, there were very short, piercing thoughts. So he says as follows. I'm going to run through the Hemshech with you because it's just, it is so fertile with advice and chizik. So he says like this. That one, what the Torah is pointing to here is that a person should not become depressed due to the fact that they do not find their Torah or Avodah fulfilling. That it's lackluster, that it's empty, that it lacks passion. Quite the contrary, he says, if a person is convinced that they're really enjoying it, it's arrogance. It's delusional. So he says, the Pasuk tells us that Hashem's desire in creating this lowly world is that he wants a dira b'tachtonim. Hashem wants a dwelling place here in the physical world. And that's what we're doing here. As the Pasuk says, v'shachanti b'soicham, I want to find a dwelling place among you. So he says that b'nei aliyah, the people who are really into it, the people who really enjoy their service, hema muatim, they are a select few. And like he says, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son and so on, he says, but they're not where it's at. That's not where the action is. And it's not for them that Mashiach will come. He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, those tzaddikim existed at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash anyway. So clearly, they're not where it's at. As great as they are, and as phenomenal as they are, and the world stands upon them, they're called tzaddik yisoid olam. They are the foundation of the world. But that's not where the action is. He says that this is the meaning itself is a mimer unto itself. There's a ver in the Torah called creating a chilul Hashem. Loi techalil. Says a chalal means a void. The Torah is telling us don't create a void in the world. What kind of void? Says a chalal means an empty space. When a person violates a mitzvah, they are creating a space wherein HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot dwell. The purpose of creation is to create, v'shachanti b'soichem, is to create a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person violates the will of Hashem, they are creating a chalal. They're creating a place where Hashem cannot exist. It says, Leit Techalol, the Torah tells you, do not create a Cholol. And even though a person cannot see the effects of their accomplishments in Torah and Mitzvahs, it's not like lights turn on and there's a great fireworks display every time we overcome our battle with the Yetzirah. We don't see any result. And even though we take no pleasure in one's learning and one's davening and our performance of mitzvahs, he says that's because it is completely beyond human comprehension, what is being accomplished. So what he's saying really is that the accomplishment of creating a dira b'tachtonim is so beyond human intellect that anybody who says that they do sense the accomplishment is living in a world of delusion, because it's something that is incomprehensible to the human mind. The effect of a single mitzvah cannot be comprehended by a human being, because we're creating a dira b'tachtein, we're creating a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can it be possible that a human being should be able to sense or feel or see the effects of that mitzvah. It's impossible. It's something that's far greater than that which a human being can comprehend. He makes the funniest kal v'chomer. He says, if the concept of Olam Haba, of the world to come, a human being can't comprehend while they're in their physical body, so for sure that for which Olam Haba is, this is terrible English, for sure that which is that which creates the Olam Haba, the thing that the Olam Haba is only a reward for, that for sure cannot be comprehended. Right? If we can't even comprehend the schar, let's take an example. You have a child, and you want to tell the child how proud you are of something great that they did. So let's say the kid mowed the lawn. It's unlikely you're going to give the kid $1 million for mowing the lawn, because that would not be a fair amount of reward, right? You could probably hire somebody for less than that to do the lawn, depending on what the lawn looks like, right? So, reward is always less than what a person is getting reward for, right? You don't go hire somebody to do a job and then pay them a crazy amount for the job they did when the job wasn't worth it. So if Olam Haba is reward for a mitzvah, that says to you that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the mitzvah much greater than the Olam Haba. And if we can't even comprehend Olam Haba, how can we possibly expect to comprehend the effects of a mitzvah? Seichel. Simple thinking. It's algebra 101, right? What's wrong? So that is the fulfillment. You have to clarify it. Meaning, a person who says, I enjoy the fact that I'm able to create a dir b'tachtonim, even though I can't sense the dir b'tachtonim, I can't see the effects of my mitzvahs, I'm enjoying the very fact that Hashem gave me the privilege to create a dir b'tachtonim. What that means to the Rebbeinu Shalom, I don't know, but I know for sure that I'm giving a nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That kind of geschmack a person has the ability to feel and to sense, and should feel and sense all the time. But the proteistic effect, a person who tells you that they sense the effects of shaking a lulav and esrog, that they're able to sense the spiritual accomplishments or whatever it is that it's not comprehensible to humans. It's way beyond human comprehension. What we should be enjoying is the very fact that we have the ability to do it. That we have the ability to do the incomprehensible. That's what should be giving us the geschmack. See, he says, and this goes back to what we were discussing before, Vigam Leda, we must also know, Ki Mukrich Kol Echad, that we are forced, each one of us is forced, L'chol Avedas Hashem, to each every detail in our service, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Las is Dira Kanal, that we, in whatever moment we are always in the moment of creating a Dira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every ethical and moral challenge, whether it's in doing good or in not doing something that we shouldn't be doing, it's always about creating this Dira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubanu Balei Haguf. And it is about us, those of us who identify with our bodies, not with our souls. Lachnia u'lishaber kol ha'tayves. And when we are able, in every one of those moments of temptation, of trial, of moral and ethical challenge, we're able to overcome and to be victorious, it's in the merit of every one of those steps, toli ha'geula, that's what the redemption is going to be dependent upon, in the merit of those tens of thousands of daily, weekly, monthly trials and tribulations that we can be victorious. That's what the Gula is going to come for. It's not about the people who no longer struggle. Those tzaddikim are very cool. Put them up on a pedestal. Look at their pictures. and recognize that we have little to do with them. Because we are Bali Aguf and they are Bali Neshama. It's about them that Hillel says about himself, I'm going to do a favor, I'm going to feed my body now. I'm going to the bathhouse to treat my host. The rest of us say, Alikai Neshama Shanasata Bi Tahiri. The rest of us say, God, the Neshama that you put in me is pure. The me is the body. It's about us that the Geula will be. So he says, Kisiyena Le'ishte Noshim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these two wives, one of them is the wife that's Ahuva, the one who's smooth sailing, who's in this loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. Right? We read every Yard Scroll biography. They were born tzaddikim. They said they washed and benched before they nursed in the morning, and they're ones who are all they knew Shas at age before the Upshur, and at the Upshur and they recited the Hadron on Shas. And so you've read the books, right? Those are very nice. That's the Isha Ahuva. That's the beloved wife. But when it comes to the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to bequeath to his children the day of Mashiach, the Ben Ha'ahuva is not going to be the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold up as being the cause of the Geula. The cause of the Geula is the Ben Asnua, is the one who has a turbulent relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one who doesn't want to do it. The one who doesn't feel. The one who does it even though when they don't feel like doing it. The one who doesn't get a geschmack in it. But it's a catch-22, because the moment we recognize it, then all of a sudden you got a geschmack in it, because you know that that's going to be that's going to be the cause of the geula. So now you have a geschmack. But it's true. It's a different nature of geschmack. There are people who just by nature don't struggle. Or maybe they do and they just don't tell us about it. He adds a line in here in the middle of this maimer, which again is a tremendously powerful concept, which frankly is really, really scary. He mentions in the middle, and the Divrei Chaim in Parshas Nitzavim says the same thing. I took a picture of this today and sent it to one of my contacts at Babov to show this to the Babov Rav, because he likes talking about this topic. Each of us, he says here, ula'achar boi la'olam zeh, after we come to this world, noyisnim lay neshama chadasha, we are given a new soul, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, each and every day, Kefi b'chinas avedasai, according to where we're at in our service of Hashem. So every morning, when we say Maida'ani, we really should be hanging up a big welcome sign to our new neshama, who wasn't in us yesterday. It's not like we're getting back the same reused neshama. He's saying each and every day, he says it's literally on the level, just like we all understand that on Shabbos, we're given a neshama yisera. We're given a different soul. We should understand that each and every day we get marked at night when the neshama goes up. Okay, what did you do today? What was your level of avodah? And tomorrow you could be gifted the neshama of, Rabbi Kiva. I shared with the guys yesterday at Shal Shudas. We never should go off on tangents. It's very dangerous. But some tangents are more geschmack than not. Not all tangents are created equal. The Arla Shemayim, my children are his Eniklach. This is the point that I tried addressing with the guys yesterday at Shalosh Shudas, because Friday was the Yahrzeit of the Chikasa Zayda. Today, by the way, is Uncle Mati's Yahrzeit. So we should learn Zeche Nishmas, Motche Doiv Ber Ben, I think it's Motche Doiv Ben Yankiv Yisrael. So, whenever we referred to the Chikasa Zayda, well, that's how we referred to him as. And you see many times, by good Jews, that when they referred to tzaddikim of the past generations that were their ancestors, that they always tried using the terminology of the so-and-so, the Zayda so-and-so. Many times people looked at it, oh, you show off. You know, you got to show off that you're a descendant of so-and-so. Like, is it so important? You know, do you have to wear it on your sleeve? And I think some people do use it as a merit. They tell a great story there was a certain gvir in Los Angeles that used to give money to Einikloch of the Rebbe Melech of Lizhensk. Whenever anybody would come and they would say they're an Einikloch of the Rebbe Melech, he would give them a lot of money. So obviously, Einikloch of the Rebbe Melech would make their way to Los Angeles because this guy had a weakness. Well, one guy decided, he realized that this gvir, whoever he was, really didn't know the difference. So he went and said to this guy, I am the Rebbe Melech. And he had a big white beard, and he said, you know, I heard that you give money to my descendants. I want you to know that I'm the answer. So the guy took out a stick and started beating him and said, stop sending me your descendants. Like, you know, leave me alone already. What's the purpose? So I believe there's a deeper purpose in this. Listen to this Erle Shemayim. These are my children are his enigma. They're male of Apt. He brings from his Rebbe, who was the Chayza of Lublin. The Chayza said, Chazal tell us, it's Yerushalmi, Lo'olam yomer adam mosai yagiyu maisa lemaisa abaisa. A person should always say, when will my actions attain the level of the actions of our ancestors? So the Chayza said, what are we, crazy? We really believe that our Aveda is going to come to the Aveda of the Aves, of the Imoyas, of the Shvatim, of the Nevi'im. Like, who are we fooling? Like, what kind of... And it's not enough. Like, we should think about it once. But La'ilam Yoyimah, a person should always say. So he says, what kind of sense does this make? See, he says a mind-blowing concept. Says the Chayza, or the Alder Shemayim, as he processes the thought of the Chayza, that when a Jew performs a mitzvah, and they conjure up the image of a person who they are emulating, a tzaddik, a zayda, a baba, one of the avos, a tana, an amora, whoever it is, that's the model that they're trying to emulate, that they are allowed and given the opportunity of a quasi ibur neshama, that tzaddik becomes embodied in them. If you will, to use a really bad, borrowed term, they become possessed by that tzaddik. Says Ermeil Apted, I want you to know that the koyach that we can derive from that emulation is so powerful. The energy that we can draw is so powerful that the Yetzer Hara will do everything to stop us. He's the first thing he will come and do and say, what are you, crazy? You think that your Torah can attain Reb Chaim Eiser? You think that your chesed can be like Reb Shlomo Zalman? You think that your whatever it is can be like the chesed of whoever it is? You're nothing. You're a nobody. Stop it. He said the Yetzer Hara will go all out to prevent us from doing this because the energy that we can draw upon is so powerful. He says, Chab Chazal and tell us, Lo Oilam Yomer Adam, a person when they get up to do a mitzvah, do your research, read those ridiculous biographies, whichever ones are true, because you can draw on those energies. And when you have images in your mind, and when we drive home to our children and paint images of these great people, we can draw on that energy. When we perform Torah and mitzvahs, a person should always say, when will my actions be able to touch? How can I draw from their energy? So even if we are a Ben Hasnua and we have a tumultuous relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have the understanding that it's in those battles that the koyach of bringing Mashiach comes. Now, the opposite effect comes into play when we look at others, which is always a bad idea, and see people who seem to be enjoying what they're doing. And they're riding high. And they're not struggling. People who can sit for hours and hours and learn without interruption. And I'm sure you all have your own examples of the people who, you know, if only, right? If only I could sing like Abish Brod. Or you fill in your own if only, because we all have them. That attitude is designed by the Yetzer Hara as a massive put-down. And that's what leads the most righteous person who goes out to war and he comes upon an Eishes Yifas Toyer, or he sees a beautiful woman in war. And what goes through his mind is, Oy ben ich gefallen. How low can I be? How small? How little value must I be contributing to the big picture? To the point where the Yetzer Hara gets him through this false humility. It's the massive put down. Comes Rashi and says to us, I want you to understand what the result of that's going to be. The result of that put down is going to be what this, the Baal Tanya is talking about, that there's going to be a ben asnua, that there's going to be a person who has a difficult relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Times on, times off. And he's going to see himself as being worthless. And the result of that is a ben sayramar. And it's interesting that the attitude of the warrior who gives in to the Eishes Yifas Toyer becomes a parenting issue when it comes to the Ben Soyer. The Ibn Ezra says, "An Zoylel V'Soyve." Right, the meaning of Zoylel V'Soyve. This, how do you identify the Ben Soyer? You got a kid was fressed and zof. There are no English words that can capture the affect of fressen and zofen. There's just, I told you that I saw in Maine, in Boston, there's a restaurant called Zaftig. And it's like Gashmias Incorporated. Come and fress. Says the Ibn Ezra, Zoylel is a parent who gives in to the child's every request. Well, the parent convinces himself they're being a good parent. I give the kid whatever they want. V'soyve, says the Ibn Ezra, Karev Lapikorsis. That somebody who drinks this way is close to heresy. Why? Because he sees his entire purpose in this world as to pursue food and drink. I was listening, I heard this Ibn Ezra from Rabbi Reisman, who goes off on the New York scene. Oh my gosh. He goes through the list of available cuisine. Japanese, Thai, Chinese. He goes through the entire list according to the avenues in New York City, and all kosher. He says it's Zoylel V'Soyve incorporated with an OU. I was very upset that he used that hechsher. He should have said that. A different hechsher. Where does it come from? It's very simple. The moment I see no value in my Avoda, which is why I related to you what I saw about the Yaskeh the Yamamisa. Yaskeh the Yamamisa could be a very dangerous thing if the piece of Torah is not in place. Because then what other purpose is there in life other than tzifresen and tzizofen? What meaning can there possibly be? I'm not enjoying my Avoda. My Yiddishkeit isn't doing anything for me. So it must be, and I'm not going to go violate any treif, but I don't have to anymore. I can get kosher bacon bits. So where there's no need to eat treif anymore. You have fake crab. So there's a progression. And the progression, the kernel of the progression, is a lack of appreciation for struggling. The idea that the Baal Tanya says here, that Vahaya B'yayim Hanchila Yazbanov, that the concept that we're going to appreciate is going to be, the Mashiach's going to come because of those of us who struggle day in and day out, and we're willing to put in the effort into the battle, that's going to bring Mashiach. And the reason it's going to bring Mashiach is because that person is focused on the understanding that each and every struggle creates a dir b'tachtonim. I think we need to have the Piyasetz, the Rebbe is very big on imagery. What's a dira? A dira is a dwelling place. In Eretz Yisrael, they refer to a dira as an apartment. We need to create some imagery. We're creating a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each and every struggle, whether it creates a room or brings in a piece of furniture or paints a room or puts up a decoration, whatever it is, we are creating with each and every struggle a dira b'tachtonim. The Rav Shitzurov writes that, I think he says it in the name of the Chayza of Lublin, or the Chayza, when he made Aliyas Neshama, I'm messing this up, I'm telling you, but it involves these people, so the names are right, just the story's wrong. That when he went and made Aliyas Neshama, so he saw that the acts of the wicked destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is building the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, upstairs, brick by brick, with every good deed. And then the wicked come along and they destroy a whole wall. He says, but when he saw the Avodah, the Chayza coming up, he reconstructed the whole wall. He said, magnificent, that's what we say both in Shemana Esrei and in benching. Uvenei Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh Bimheira B'yameinu, that Hashem builds Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh quickly B'yameinu, with our days. Our days are the building blocks of the third Beis HaMikdash. Every time we struggle and we overcome and we're victorious, we're putting a brick, we're laying a wall, we're pouring a foundation. We have to create that imagery. And then although we can't perhaps be masig the details of what a tkiah and a trua and a shvarim are, or what the side of Esther Genulava is, but we can, this imagery we can use. The imagery of understanding that we're building a dira b'tachtonim, that's something that everybody can relate to. But we have to attribute value to the struggle. There has to be an inherent appreciation for the fact that those who struggle were here. The Rebbe is giving us an opportunity to go back and fix up what we've messed up in the past, and he's custom tailored the struggle to us with the knowledge of what we can do and what we have the capacity to rectify. That's Unasane Hashem Lekecha B'yadecha V'shavi Sashiv Yoy B'malchemes HaRishus. That is our domain, the Rishus of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu custom tailored for us. So Elul is the time that we're supposed to spy. We're supposed to figure out where our struggle is, what our unique contribution is, so that when the Yom Neroim come along, we have an idea as to how we're going to answer the question of what it is that we're doing here. What's our unique job? And certainly if we're given a new neshama each and every day based upon our Aveda, then when the new year comes along and there's a whole new judgment, we're clearly gifted a new role. The Maral writes that the word shana means change. That's why it's called a shana. It's l'shana, it's to change. There's a whole new delivery system, a whole new set of challenges to each generation, and each year comes with its own unique mission. So our tefillah is that the Rebbe Shlomo will give us the ability to gain some insight into what our mission is, understand what our challenge is, and then develop a real, authentic appreciation for the challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, so that we can actually, instead of being resentful of it, that we can be thankful to the fact that Hashem gives us the opportunity to create a dwelling place for Him so often and in so many different ways.